Turn to James chapter 5 and going verse by verse. We're in the last part of the verses 13 through 20. It's going to take me two or three messages to get through this. So I want to read. Let's just read 13 through 20. There's so much in here. There's so much false teaching that comes from here. But please, remember it's all about calling on God, and God can do anything in the midst of all this, all right? And I'll show you that in a minute. So let's just read this so you can get a context of this, and then we'll go. Today I'm going to look at verse 13, 14, and 17, kind of, and then we're going to get through all of this in the next two or three weeks. All right, everyone, if you get a Bible, get your phone up, whatever. I want you to have a Bible. I want you to see it. Is any among you afflicted? And we're going to look at all of these words because they cause a lot of problems. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them that pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. You can see that theme throughout this whole thing is prayer, right? That you may be healed, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, gives an example here now of Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, right? He was just a man. He had struggles like we did. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruits. All right, so those verses is us talking to God. But the next verses is, so we're praying to God in those verses. Now we're going to pray, and we're going to help men, these next two verses. We won't see this until 3 weeks from now. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, that is the idea, and we'll go deeper into this later, is return them back to the truth. Verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So I want to talk about some purposes of why we should pray. And the first thing I want you to jot down is this. When we are suffering, we need to pray. And we see that in verse 13, right? It says in the beginning, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We're going to get to the elders in a second. But at first it says, you pray, right? A lot of people don't preach that right away. They miss that. Now, the word afflicted, now stay with me on this. It's important to understand all these words. It means to undergo hardship, endure affliction, to suffer trouble, right? So the word doesn't necessarily refer to bodily sickness only. You got to get that or you're going to miss this whole passage, right? I'll give you some examples. 2 Timothy 2:9, I'll give you the scripture up here, all right? It's the word used here, suffer trouble. 2 Timothy 2:8 says this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, that's the same word, as an evildoer, even unto bonds, by the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. So he's just saying, the last verse, listen, whatever it takes to get people to get saved, you know, I did a funeral last night, and I said, listen, I don't know how many days I got left. I don't know most of these people here. It was a Nigerian crowd. I said, I love you, Nigerian family. I said, I don't know most of you. I don't even know the person who died. But listen, please walk out of here saved if you're not saved. Because I don't know how long. We all have 100% chance of dying. I don't know what's going to happen. More and more of my friends and family and people, more I know, I'm just losing them. And we have none of us have a promise of this afternoon, right? Right? So be careful. Be careful what we're doing with our time, right? So it says, let him pray. Now, let me ask you a question. I was thinking about this. Your first response of suffering this week, whatever it was, what was your first response, honestly? Was it going to talk to somebody else? Was it to complain? I can't believe this happened to me. I want you to really think, because I'm going to really try to get you, by the time you leave as a Christian, is to go to God first. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to other people and have them pray with you. I'm not saying that. But this caught my eye. I never really saw it before. Let him pray first before you go to the elders. So I thought to myself, why don't we pray as Christians? Two main reasons. The first one is, I don't have it on y'all, you can jot it down, is we're too busy. Right? Number one, we're too busy. So we rely on our self-sufficiency, really, in a way. We rely on our self-sufficiency to try to make it ourselves. We try everything else first. Right? We worry, we talk about other people, we complain. But do we go and wrestle with God first? Go with me to Genesis 32. I am going to have you turn to a few passages. We will get back to here, so put a bookmark, whatever. If you got a phone, it's pretty quick. But I still like old school. I like a Bible in front of me so I could see all the verses around it. Genesis 32. But I'm old school. It's okay if you have a phone. It's all right. Genesis 32. Let me set the scene if you don't know the scene. So Jacob stole his brother's birthright 20 years earlier, and they had a falling out. Right? And Esau wanted to kill his brother Jacob. Jacob was scared. Matter of fact, Rachel was the whole, you know, his mother was involved and conniving. You know that whole scene, right? He leaves. You know, his mother never saw Jacob again when he left. 20 years later, God's saying, okay, they're going to meet. So Jacob is very nervous. Like, man, he splits up the groups. He's afraid that Esau's going to come and kill them all. So one night, he's stressed out about this thing. He starts wrestling with God in prayer. So look at verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man. And most believe, in Hosea 12, it talks about who, most believe it's Christ himself, Christophany, we call it, before he came in the manger, with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, So he's wrestling. He wouldn't let Jesus go. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he's wrestling to a point of pain. How far will we go to wrestle with God? How far will you go? You pray 1 minute and say, I give up. Listen, if you really want to do something, you stick to it, don't you? Right, I think this is what we're missing a little bit. If you've come in here thinking prayer is just, I've tried this, I'm going to get to that second one, you know, it doesn't work, that's my second answer. And if you're honest, sometimes you believe that. I have. So watch what happens. Look at verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Right? And he said, no, so this is Jacob saying, now, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep wrestling with you until I get an answer, till something happens, so you bless me. And verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? It's kind of a stupid question. Like, I know your name. You know your name, but what is your name? But in the Old Testament, your name meant something. Right? And so that's what he was getting to. He said, Jacob. And Jacob means what? Supplanter, deceiver. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And Israel means to persist with God. He changed his name just because he wrestled with God. And for as a prince hast thou, now watch the results of him wrestling. You'll have power with God and with men. Here's some results right here. And has prevailed. You'll have victory over your struggles. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. I'll tell you what. You keep wrestling with God in prayer, you're going to be blessed. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So what happens is you start wrestling with God, you're going to have a closer walk with God. You're going to see him more, quote, face to face. It's an anthropomorphic statement. Obviously, no one can see God clearly and live. You see that in Exodus, right? You can't see God in all his glory and live. That's like people say, I'm shaving and Jesus comes and appears to me and I talk to Jesus. Not true. You'd be flat on your face saying, holy, 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 if you've seen the fullness of God. You would die, actually. And then he says, as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. So now he had a limp. Now, I don't know if the limp lasted all of his life. It may have, but it was definitely there at that time. He was a changed man. Verse 32, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew, and that's the sciatica nerve, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So his prayer changed other people. This is a powerful passage. So how much are we wrestling with God? I'll tell you what. The less you wrestle with God, the more you'll wrestle with yourself and other people. If you remember any other statement, remember that. You're going to wrestle with other people. I can tell you, if I give things more and more over to God, Lord, and I'll tell you what, it's much easier with people. But if I don't, if you're bitter at the boss and you're not giving that over as you're driving home, when you walk in the door, you're going to let the people around you have it. So we're too busy. You think about it. Too busy for God. That doesn't even make sense. The only one who can change anything. But here's the other main one I thought of. We don't think it works. We grow weary in praying. And unbelief in what God can do is the limiting factor. Listen, of the power of God working in our lives. I'll give you a perfect example. I was sharing this with Brian. Moses. Moses in Numbers 20. I'm reading through the book of Numbers and other passages. And so you remember Moses, right? The people are complaining. There's no water. There's no food. Over and over again. So God says, all right, listen. I want you to speak to this rock. You and Aaron. Aaron's part of it. People forget about Aaron. And I want you to speak to this rock, and water's going to come out. That's my plan. And you know what Moses did, right? He came and he struck the rock twice. He hit it. Boom, boom. And you think, that's no big deal. He just hit the rock. It was a huge deal to God. Because Moses did what he thought should have been done in this situation instead of relying on God. Even in his anger. Listen to the next verse, Numbers 20:12. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because he believed me not. He's saying, you didn't believe what I said. That's why you're in the position that you're in. And he goes on to say this, to sanctify me, and it means to set me apart in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. So our unbelief in God's word and prayer limits the power of what God could do in our lives. And a matter of fact, it goes worse. It hinders it. Not only doesn't it help it, it hinders it. Thank God. Did Moses see the promised land? Yeah, remember Matthew 17? When Moses and Elijah came, we talked to Jesus. He was in the promised land, by the way. See, God's so gracious. But I just want to say that because we don't think prayer works and we don't pray, we're limiting all the power of God in our lives to do what God wants to do in our lives. And we also affect other people. I never saw this before. Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of people. So that means prayer ultimately is to what? Glorify God. It's just not a gimme list. It's not a spiritual Santa Claus. Gimme, 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 gimme. Please. Remember these simple concepts. So I put down here three main reasons we should pray when we're suffering. Why should we pray when we're suffering? Three things. The first one is it takes away the cares and the weights of the world. You know these verses. Don't turn to them. I'm just going to put them up here real quick. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting, it means to throw everything upon all your care. That means your anxieties, your distractions upon him, for he careth for you. Now, think about this verse. What consumed your mind this week? What were you so anxious about? Was it money? Was it, you know, relationships, lack thereof? What's, you know, I don't know what it was, but what consumed your thoughts? And you didn't give them over to God, maybe right away. He's saying, I care for you. Do you ever have something really on your heart and you want to talk to somebody and they love you and you just tell them, please help me, and just share that with them? Don't you feel great afterwards? Now, we're sharing it to a man. What could a man could do? Somebody shared something with me this week, and I'm like, I just like pray, like, God, I this is way too big for me, but it isn't too big for you. Is that even, I think of my words, it's too big for me. Everything's too big for me. So about 8 months ago, my Subaru clutch went. So I won't say who ruined the clutch, but no, I'm just kidding. Over time, the clutch went bad. The car had about, I don't know, say about 110,000 miles on it. It needs a new clutch, right? So we got an estimate around $1,400, $1,500, somebody to say to do it, right? So here's what I pray almost 3 to 5 times a week. I say, Lord, will you please keep our cars going? And if they break, can you provide another one? I pray that every week, almost every day. And I have a 20-year-old car, a 19-year-old car. And I'm not saying, God, I'm something special. Don't get there. I'm just trying to give you examples. We don't even pray. I pray for wood. Wood's coming out of my ears every year now. I can honestly say in the beginning, I didn't pray for wood. See, we don't pray for all those little things. And those all little things begin to, anxiety, they start building up and it becomes a big thing. So I'm praying, I pray. I say, Lord, and then so now it breaks. I say, Lord, can you please give me the money? Do you know somebody came to me and says, I want to pay for that? I didn't ask anybody. When I was an immature Christian, I would do that more. You like hint everybody? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Then that ruins everything, though. Because you know when you pray and no one else knows and God puts it upon their heart. Or yeah, they know your car broke down. But it was like, I didn't say, hey, can you please give me the money? Luke 18:1, another one. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. That word faint has the idea of, you know, being weak or weary or losing heart. Now I'm going to make a statement. We're only as a strong Christian as our prayer life. You say, wait, Pastor, wait, think about it. It's true. Our relationship to God is as strong as we pray to him throughout the day. And I'll show you what I mean. Okay, think about your prayer life this week, all right? Say one day, somebody was honest with me, I was talking to them about prayer, I said, come on, how you doing? You struggling? The first thing I ask people, come on, how can I help you? Let's pray. All right, how's your prayer life, man? He said, you know, I didn't talk to God for 3 days. Now think about that. Let's reverse that, and let's say the words you say to God is the words that you say to your spouse or the closest person to you. Let's reverse it. Okay, so you get up, you don't talk with God. Okay, you get up, you don't talk to the person next to you. You're silent before you even leave the house. You eat lunch. Maybe you say, God, thank you for this food. I don't know. And then you don't pray the rest of the day. You don't talk to God at all. Now take that same thing and take it to your spouse, to your kids, to whoever's closest to you. Are you going to be close to them? Absolutely not. That's why we're not as close to God. We think he's way up there. Yeah, we believe he exists. But like, I pray, look, and say, like, I don't see anything happening. Prayer don't work. It's exactly what we say. Maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you're so distant from God right now because things have happened in your life and you have hurt and pain. You got to come back. You got to start talking to him. Like, you think of the person you talk to the most. If you switched, I'm not saying do this, keep talking to that person, but I'm saying take all that you talk to that person and you now talking to God throughout the day. What a relationship you're going to have. If you ever said to your spouse or someone close to you, hey man, I'm struggling with this. Can I just talk to you? Or just, can I pray with you? Some of us are too prideful. We're too prideful to share anything that we're struggling with. If you want to be the strong Christian that shows everybody, I'm Joe Righteous. Forget about it. We're all weak. We need God. We need one another. Stop the facades. Just because you know a bunch of Bible knowledge, if you don't apply it, it's no good. I don't know. I'm so passionate about this, guys, today. I think we've been missing something. And this is what we've been missing, the practicality of what praying all the time looks like. It looks like a conversation you have with a person. If you said to the person that is closest to you three words, if you said to them, say that day you need some, Lord, can you give me this? If you said to the person, thank you, can you give me this? The words, the same words you said to God that did the other person. Just think about it. That would not be a strong relationship. That illustration, when I was thinking that, came up with, I'm like, that's it. That's the problem. That's why we're so stressed out. That's why we're so worried. All these verses, you know these verses. You've been a Christian for a while. But I don't think we really are doing it. And it's not a burden. It's not a burden to do this. So we should be thanking God all day. So, I'm going to run ahead of myself. Let me give you another verse. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It says perfect peace. You can have peace. Listen, as a Christian, we can have peace all the time. That's what that verse is saying. But the kicker is you got to keep your mind on him all the time in order to have it. So when we're worried and stressed out, we have all this anxiety, that just tells us at that moment our mind is not on thee. It's on thee. Right? It's not on God. These are very powerful passages. So Nehemiah, I was thinking of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was burdened 444 B.C., before that, Ezra went, Zerubbabel went. They had revival in Jerusalem. Remember the edict in 539 B.C. to let them go back, rebuild Jerusalem. But there was no walls. In that time, walls was their protection. So he was so burdened, Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it says he prayed for 3 or 4 months. And then eventually he went before the king. He wanted to go and build those walls. And right before he saw the king, he prayed again. Because he had to go to the king and say, listen, will you let me go and go build those walls? Remember, he was a cupbearer, so you couldn't be sad in front of the king because you can get your head chopped off. The king noticed that he was sad. He said, why are you sad? And he told him. He let him go. Not only did he let him go, he gave him letters to go. He gave him supplies to go. See what God can do when we pray? The very hindrance we thought is the one that actually helped him. Think about all the fights you had with people in your own home and maybe your friends. Just think, if we stop for a second, come on, pray. Let's pray instead. Think about that. And then you start praying on a consistent basis. I'll tell you, when you start praying with somebody, obviously we're praying to God. But let me tell you something. When you're praying with somebody and they hear you, God, there's something about, Lord, I pray for my wife. I pray that you watch over her. And she's like over here saying, man, he really does care about me. So I pray. I was thinking of Nehemiah. I pray the same. Lord, I pray that, I'll go back to the cars thing. Lord, I pray you keep my cars going and provide newer ones. I don't say, you know, you better give me a new one. I mean, if he wants to, he can. But I was like, Lord, and I'm doing the best I can. I'm saving. I'm doing my part. The book of Proverbs, right? Be diligent. Be a good steward. You can't pray and say, Lord, heal my liver and keep drinking. I'm serious. You can't be a poor steward of your money and say, God, can you give me this? It doesn't work that way. Because he would enable you. So we still got to do our part. All right, last one I want to share with you. And the verses here is up. And you know these verses, right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be careful for nothing. It literally means in the Greek, don't be pulled apart. Don't be pulled apart. But in everything. Not, see these words? Everything. You say, Pastor, is that possible? Yeah, it is possible. We got to get our mindset. I did this for 3 days, the last 3 days, and I'm going to show you in a minute. I've never done it before. I'm honest. In everything by prayer. Prayer is a general term of worship. So you're coming to God. I'm coming to God to worship him, to say how great he is. And then it says supplications is specific. I'm coming with specifics as well. Not demanding. God, you got to do this. Unless it's a promise in the word. You don't have to do nothing. And then he says, with thanksgiving. See, the thanksgiving part is knowing the scriptures. Knowing the scriptures, and you're praying according to the scriptures, you know. Thank you, Lord, that you said you will provide as I seek your kingdom first. See, that's how you pray, if you know the scriptures. And then it says, your request be made known unto God. Not to man first. And what's going to result? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep. The word means it actually guard your mind and what? Well, it's guard your heart and your mind. Because that's what runs, right? So, hey, this thing broke down. How in the world would you get the money for that? And there goes your mind. It just starts racing. You know, I'm going to be single the rest of my life. I'm never going to find somebody. This marriage is in a dumpster. It's never going to get better. So you just let your mind go. That person really doesn't love me anyway. You're in trouble. When your emotions are going to lead you instead of the scriptures, you're in big, huge trouble. You're going to make poor decisions. You're going to make poor decisions to run. I was talking to somebody who's running away from God. I said, it's not going to get better. Don't run from God. He's the only solution. You can't stop somebody else from running for God. You could pray and pray and pray. You could tell them, listen, this week I hear some things and whatever, and I'm like, okay, I'm worried about somebody's marriage. So here's what I decided. As I'm studying this, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. All right, so I'm just going to make this up. Isabella's here, right? All right, Isabella told me this thing about her husband and this and that, and their marriage is like falling apart, and I take it on, man. I take it on. I'm like, oh, I got to save this marriage. So now, this week, the last 3 days, like, Lord, I just give them up to you. Hey. So everything that came into my mind, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, tells us this. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Nobody here in this room is your enemy. We have one enemy. It's Satan. And he uses his dominions. Now be careful, because Satan will use people. I mean, a classic example is, you know it, when Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, he was trying to stop him from going to the cross. I mean, he said that to Peter. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of the strongholds. See, we can continue to blame everybody around us for the struggles that we have. It's because we're not using the weapons that God gave us. He promised that we can have victory here. It's not you might have victory. And then he says, cast down every imagination that goes against the knowledge of God. and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I thought to myself, hey, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to give it to you, God. Whether it's finances, you know, I'm going to be 59. I don't have a lot of retirement. So I said, wow, what about this when I get to be older? How's that? And so this week, anytime I had one thought of that, I did it for 3 days. I hope I can keep it up. Pray that I can. I pray that you can too. I've been feeling so much joy. Light. I'm driving down the street praying for every soul that I see. Lord, I pray for that man's soul. But I'll tell you what, before when I'm worrying about all these things, I don't see those people. I don't see the people at Home Depot. I don't see those people. I see I got to get this and whatever. Yeah, I still care about souls. Yeah, of course I do. Once in a while, I still witness to them. But I'm talking about walking this life that you're giving everything over to God. Some people in here, they want a visa so they could stay in this country. And you're worrying about a work thing and this. And listen, pray. God could do anything. Some of you can't have children. You pray. Some of you are struggling with some physical thing. You pray. And don't give up. Now, God has the right to say yes, no, maybe. I'm going to get into that more as we get back to our text. All right, maybe this is going to be four messages. I thought I was going to get a lot farther than I did today. Because there's some passages over there. Now, let me just say this. And it's like, bear my heart today, man. I mean, it's the scriptures, but it's like, I've known these scriptures so long, and I'm like, I haven't been doing it, though. I do it a little bit, and then I go back to being in the flesh. I do a little bit more. And it goes all back down to, I don't really believe God. I don't really believe he could do anything. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. You don't really believe he's going to answer your prayers in the way he wants. You don't really believe the scriptures. We know them, but I don't know. I don't believe them. All right, let me give you another reason you should pray when you're suffering, to take away the cares. But the next one is to give us strength to carry on. James 4:6 says this, but he giveth more grace. He's talking to Christians now. We're talking about sustaining grace, not saving grace. You're already saved if you're a Christian. Wherefore he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then I thought to myself, wait, let me tie this with prayer. So he resisteth the proud. So proud is self-sufficiency. What is self-sufficiency? You're not praying. Right? So when we're not praying, we're relying on ourselves. I'm thinking of this verse. Whoa. Not only is God not going to answer the prayer because we ain't asking anything, but he's going to resist. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Don't turn there. I'm going to put up 16 for you right now. It says this, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Talking about Jesus, he knows how you feel in every pain that you have, even though we never sinned. But he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So listen, we all need strength and grace to get through things. Do you know God is not always going to just remove everything? That's what we want. Lord, could you just remove this? Can you bring this person? Can you do this? He may not. I pray that there's no divorces. I've been a pastor for 20 years now. And there's people that I married are divorced today. And can I say to this person when I'm talking to them, I pray that, God, I could say, listen, they're not going to divorce you. I can't say that. I wish I could. But I said, God's going to give you the grace and the strength to go through that. Even if they walk away from you, they don't want to serve God. That's all I have to say. I can't promise them the other thing. But I can promise them that God will give them strength to go through it. We'll give them the grace based on this verse. The practical part is being there, helping them. Think about a loss of a person. Everybody in this room has lost people. I said last night at the funeral, I lost my father on Christmas Day. Well, 2 days later, he died in a car. I was 8 years old. I lost my mother. I lost my brother at 54 a few weeks after I lost my son. He died of a heart attack, my brother at 54. All my siblings are in horrible health. So, I'll say this. So when I think of my son, somebody said this is the one thing that could take Pastor down. Losing my kids, you better believe it. So the last 3 days, when I think of my son, I said, Paul, I'll see you later. I got work to do. See, the promise is I'm going to see him, 1 Thessalonians 4. We don't sorrow like the world sorrows. Right? But if I think about him, it just takes me a second to start thinking about him, thinking about all the times what he could be doing for God. Listen, before you know it, I'm depressed. I'm not going to do nothing for God. You got to cast that over. I've seen people who've lost their spouses. And you see older people, they lose their spouse. Within months, those people die. And they had no health, major health issues. With Christ, we can go on. With these principles, we can go on and be victorious until we get to the other side. You don't have to be a victim. Jesus said, love as I have loved you. He did not say love as you have been loved. Don't try to be accepted. Don't look for self-pity. It's not going to help you. Go to God, be strong, and pour it out. You put up expectations of people, they don't do it, then you're sad, right? You can't keep living your life like that. You can't be a victim to the people around you. With Christ, we're set free from that. We're supposed to be pouring out, not looking to be poured in. We have God. See, the problem is if we pour in and we have this relationship with God, it just overflows us. It overflows. It's not like if Pastor would just do this, or I'm just making this up, after we just do this and we preach on that or don't preach on that, I would be so much better. I tell you what, you got the Word of God every day. We should come in here like, this is awesome. We're going to get to worship God. This is dessert. If you're coming here for this only meal, you're not going to get this meal because you're going to have bitterness. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're not going to absorb it. You're going to have gut problems, spiritually speaking, and you're not going to absorb all the nutrition because you have all this stuff. It's not going to allow it to happen. Listen, I'm not trying to beat you up here today. I'm trying to get you to run to God. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm kind of going through what I've been going through. You ever says stuff like this? I wrote this down. All I could do is pray. We see stuff like that. All I could do is pray. I can't do much for you, brother, but I can pray. Someone said this. Prayer is not the least we could do. It's the most we could do. And you've heard me say this before. God can do in a second what we can't do in a lifetime. I sat around that room last night when I was going to do that funeral. I didn't know pretty much, a few people. And I started seeing that prayer. Lord, I pray for that person. I pray the Word of God. I just started doing that. Like, just start thinking about it. You start, get a list of all your coworkers and pray for them every day before you go to work. See, we won't discipline ourselves. Listen, the last 3 or 4 days, I cut down watching TV, doing this. You're going to have to do that, by the way. Because whatever you watch for 2 or 3 hours, you're going to think about that. You dream about it. And I'll tell you what, I'm being honest. The desire for those things are going down, down, down. And I'm not saying any bad stuff. But once you start doing this, it gets so cool. It's like, you know, it's you start having this walk that, like, say the person you're closest to is your spouse. In my case, that's my case, right? It's Linda. So we have this great time, and we're having this great time. It's like, why can't I have that with God? Because I'm not taking the time. I'm not taking the time. All right, I'm going to close it one more. So the idea is, the main reasons we pray during suffering is to cast away the cares and the weights, to give us the strength to carry on. And the last one, all right, it moves the Creator's hand for us and others. Here's the verse, Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I might answer thee. No. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now, I just started thinking about prayers in the Bible. There's so many of them. So let me go through some of them. So we talked about in our text, Elijah. So Elijah, directed by God, he prays and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. I was driving here today. I said, Lord, can you stop the rain before the 11 o'clock service? Now, I don't know if it did. I looked out the side like 5 after 11, it was stopped raining. I don't know if it was before that. Now, God could have done that or not done that, you know, but I'm just like why can't I pray for that? I might as well pray for it. 3.5 years? I have prayed, Lord, can you pass over that thing so we can have the car wash? It's happened. Like, it rained over there. It rained over there. I don't know. Like, why don't we ask? Then it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, and he prays that it rains. Remember, he sent his servant out there. He goes, no, it's not raining yet. He comes back. How about Eleazar? He was the servant of Abraham. Abraham says, listen, can you go find a wife for Isaac? So Eleazar, he prays. He goes, God, I got to go find a wife for Isaac. I'm just paraphrasing. And Lord, can you really direct me to the person? He says, listen, I'm going to go to this well over here. And when this girl asks me, she's going to give me some water, but she's going to give my camel some water. I'm going to know that that's her. How about if you're a single person? It's like, Lord, can you please bring me a godly man, a godly wife? I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'm going to serve you until you clearly show me that. Not, I am so lonely. I'm sick of being single. I'm just going to marry somebody so I'm not lonely anymore. And I'll tell you, there's been some heartache because of that. Moses prayed. Remember in Numbers, Miriam and Aaron are saying, hey, God only speaks to you. What about us? God was so angry, he gave Miriam leprosy. Now think about somebody who irritates you the most right now in your life. Who is this? The person like, Lord, can you bring them down? I mean, Moses goes, God, please, can you heal my sister? He's like, Lord, she deserves it. Go ahead. He had such a walk close with God, he didn't want to see that suffering. How many times 2 million people were after Moses? He was hearing directly from God, saying what God said. And always, he always said, Lord, please don't destroy them for your name's sake. I'll tell you what, when you have a close walk with God, you ain't praying that. You're praying, take them away. Remove them so I can have a better life. Solomon prayed for wisdom at 20 years old. He's taking over the kingdom. And because he prayed for that, what did God do? He gave him riches and honor. Obviously, he didn't handle it always right later on in his life. But see, when you start praying, God gives you extra. And I'm not preaching some prosperity theology. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm not claiming nothing. Hezekiah prayed, Assyria was coming. It's like, Lord, this army is way too big for me. Isaiah was praying, if you get all the texts together. God kills 185,000 troops that night, and Israel did not lift up a sword. A couple more, we'll close. Daniel no doubt prayed in the lion's den. Lord, please make these lions not eat me. I'm sure he prayed that. Come on, would you be praying that? Acts chapter 12, Peter, they're praying for him to be released from prison. And the last one, Moses in Exodus 33, he prayed this. He said, Lord, I want to know thee and I want to see thy glory. When is the last time you prayed? Lord, I want to know thee. I want to see your glory. And God showed him his, quote, backside. He put him in a cleft of a rock. The Bible says when he came off that mountain, his face was shining. It was different. He had to even cover it because the people couldn't even look on it. When you and I are so close to God, people will see it on your face. They'll see it in your voice. They'll see it in what you say. I can look at you. You can look at me and say, oh, you're down. Oh, the person's down. Look. See, there's really, we can't really fool anybody. And we certainly can't fool God. So please walk out of here today. And I want you to do this. I want you to set a time to pray tomorrow. I don't know what the best time is. Everyone has different schedules. But don't make excuses. You're going to have to cut off TV more, the computer, the this, the that, whatever, working out. I'm not saying you don't stop. I was down there like saying, Lord, I thank you I can work out. So I don't, my blood pressure starts going through the roof. Like, thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank you that I can honestly say I don't always say that. See, I had a different perspective. All right? The next time I complain or you complain, you come to me. I'm not saying don't come to me. I'm going to say, come on, let's pray. Let's pray. The next time somebody gossips about somebody, come on, let's pray for them. Let's go help them. How about that? Then we're going to see the power of God. How about starting to pray for everybody that needs to be saved in your surroundings? You're going to get a list down. Oh, Pastor, it's going to take too long. What, it's going to take 5 minutes? We'll take the time to watch a show, do this, do that. And I'm telling you, we're missing the life that God has promised here before we even get to heaven. And it all starts right here with this topic. Father, I don't even know how to pray. I'm asking you to teach me to pray. I know this. I know what Jesus said about the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to first say thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your loving kindness and your grace and your mercy and putting up with me. I thank you that you never change. You always stay the same, that you're faithful. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. You're omnipotent. You could change anything. You have the power. I have no power. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us for all our worrying and anxiety and complaining and this and that, focused on other people instead of you. God, help each one of us to call in your name first, to give you all our burdens, to praise you for who you are. As Jesus said, help us not, lead us not into temptation. We surrender, Lord, our day to you. Teach us to pray without ceasing. God, help all of us to have this relationship with you every day. Teach our kids this. Help other brothers and sisters. May we work together to call on your name for your honor, for your glory. No one looking around. The first prayer, yes, God hears lost people in the sense of hearing them, but he does not have to act if he doesn't want to, because there's no promise as a believer. But you need to call on God to be saved. And I don't know your heart here, but if you have no desire, you're here today, and you think, you know, going to church or knowing some Bible verses or whatever, don't just have intellectual knowledge of God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, that he died, he rose again. And you're going to trust only in him, not in your works, and only in him. He loved you so much. Please don't walk out of here not truly understanding that you're saved. Don't reject God's love, please. Because he's a holy and just God, and if you do that, eventually the wrath of God will come. So, Father, I love you. I'm sorry that I haven't talked to you like I should. I've let other things get in the way that I think are so important. But this life is but a vapor. So, please, can you bring revival here? And that we call on your name like never before. And may it continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.